Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm the creme de la creme, the ultimate drip, the cherry on top, the icing on the cake, the whole cake. I'm the table where the cake is chilling, and I'm definitely the tiles with the table, the cake, the icing, and the cherry on top are chilling. How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about that violence. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about that. You know, I just want to rile us up. I just want to ruffle your feathers. I just want to talk about the things that nobody wants to talk about. I just want to talk. I just want to talk to you a little bit. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are talking about secondary grief, right? We're talking about secondary grief because what the hell? Guys. And this is a conversation that is not had by many people. And I think it's because many of us don't actually pay attention to it. I think that it's because many of us don't even really understand what it is. And I think many of us really don't know what it is at all. We didn't even know it's a thing. So the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. And also today is the 2nd of March, 2026. It is a Monday evening and it's 7 minutes past 9. So, ladies and gentlemen, secondary grief. Wuchanga, we didn't know that there are schools in this thing. Kanti, there's primary. And then there's secondary. Eh? I don't know now about the tertiary one. I'm yet to find out, but we are looking into it. Okay? We're looking into it. So what is secondary grief? Secondary grief refers to the emotional distress caused by the ripple effect losses that follow a primary loss. Okay, so what is a primary loss? A primary loss is most the actual thing. The thing that is happening that is causing us distress. This thing that is happening that is causing us this emotion of loss, right? So it could be one. Death. It could be the loss of a job. It could be the loss of a relationship. It could be divorce. It could be, your mother's death. It could be, it is mainly in those categories. So when we talk about grief, right, we know that grief happens in different avenues of life. It happens in different sections. It happens in different, you know, economies also. It happens in every little compartment that we have in our little lives, it happens there. It happens everywhere. And the beauty about this conversation is because, even loss of a job, right, is a primary loss. A primary loss, meaning that this is something that you are going to mourn. And how are we mourning? We are mourning. And I was thinking about, the reason that I was thinking about secondary grief is because we all talk about grief and we all understand grief and we all understand the stages of grief. We all understand what happens. First of all, you're told, then you're shocked, then you're in denial, then you bargain. And then after you bargain, then you finally find acceptance. And after that, you live happily ever after with the knowing of what happened. You understand? So if we're talking about the loss, so we're talking about the death of something. And we are putting it in terms of, for example, a job, right? It would be, first of all, you are shocked. Like, oh my God, I just can't believe they found me. Oh my goodness. I can't believe it. What? No. And it's the same shock that you go through when somebody says, okay, so who got bumped by a car and they have passed away? You're like, wait. Oh no. Oh my goodness. Oh my God. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. That is exactly the same kind of shock. You understand? Like, ooh, it is that kind of shock. So everything that you go through with grief, right? You do go through it with all the griefs of your life. You go through it with all the losses of your life. And not unless something is not a big loss, that's why you don't experience grief, then it's not grieving. Or it's not mourning. So grief is a natural subject. Yeah? It is something that every single human being has to go through. It's a response to the loss of someone or something important. And the reason that we put important within our conversation is merely because you cannot experience grief or you cannot experience a mourning period if something was not important. It's just the same as you can't go through heartbreak when your heart wasn't in it. You can't go through the death of a relationship when your heart wasn't in it. Now, many people are looking at the divorce rates and they are going on about it. Like, yeah, people are marrying for the wrong reasons and people are marrying for what and people are marrying for what. Mara, look at it like this. People wouldn't be mourning and people wouldn't be grieving, right? If it wasn't something important. Nobody wants to get hitched to somebody and then it ends. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to have babies with anybody and then it ends. Nobody wants to start a life with someone and then the life is ripped away. No, 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 no. Nobody wants that. And I think that we have to be a little bit more sensitive when it comes to people that are going through a lot. It is a deeply personal process affecting a person's emotions, body, mind, and spirit, often involving feelings like sadness, anger, and numbness. While there is no normal or set pattern, grief involves adjusting to life without the loss. Without the loss or with the loss. It means grief involves, you trying to continue a life that no longer has this person in it. And it is important for us to have these conversations because then maybe, just maybe, we can understand ourselves. So, if I had to give us an example, for example, of secondary grief, let me put it in Eagle FM way. Mm-hmm. So, secondary grief for the Namibian nation would have been after the passing of Hage. That was secondary grief. Or it was grief also, but then there was a secondary grief that was also lingering in the atmosphere. Now, I was lingering in the atmosphere, especially for those that were emotionally connected to the president, you know, in terms of, Hagile, Hage Lolo, Hage Bra, you know, and, I read a post the other day that said that we'll never have a cooler president than Hage. And Hage appealed to the youth, you understand. He appealed to the youth. He was the type of guy that's going to pick Skawash. He was doing I'm a piano things, you know. And even if those that understand things better would say it like that. Even though there were people that understood things better and they didn't agree with his methods and his what, there were certain people that appreciated him for certain things. For example, with the fact that he could also rock up at Biggs. You know, we liked his style and his sway. And also we liked the fact that he used to dance, and we liked the fact that he used to sing also. There are so many videos, you know. We like his love stories. Like, it's giving telenovela vibes, you know. And there are certain people that were like they felt that, you know, especially when I almost said Onangi. Sorry, guys. Especially when we had our is it a step-in president? Our emergency president, you know. Our emergency president that also did an immaculate job, by the way, given the circumstances. Especially when, Tate Nangoro stepped in, you understand. And he was cool. He was calm. He was collected, but your dad is just your dad, Mos. So Hage is just Hage. Tate Nangoro is just Tate Nangoro. So the secondary grief would happen to you when you, for example, watch a speech. Or watch a conference and Tate Nangoro would address it, and in that moment you would have known that Uhagile would have said, "Kucha, I'm older than your mother," you know, something like, you know, nice things like that. You know, he would have said, "Kucha, no. Oh, so is this one? Oh, okay." You know, he had humor. He had a lot of humor. And then when Tate Nangoro stepped in, it was more about It was more about let's get the job done. And he also had his own humor, and that was okay. But secondary group would be missing Hage's jokes. It would be missing, missing what he stood for. And also in terms of secondary loss, right? It would be how the country now has to function without this person that was supposed to finish off their 1 year. So that's basically what we're talking about. We still have to keep going. We still have to keep living. We still have to keep doing this. But there are certain things that are a bit more difficult because he's not around. And there are things that can't be answered. And they can only be answered by him, and he's not around. And there are certain things that only he can do. You know, there are certain things that only he has the capability of doing. And that would be us talking about secondary grief, but we're going to dive into it. We're really going to dive into it. So grief in itself is something like glitter. So many people hate glitter. I personally don't care for it. I don't care. I don't care if there's glitter or no glitter. It doesn't bother me at all. It's not a thing, guys. For me, in my life, glitter is just glitter. If it's there, it's there. If it's not there, it's not there. It's not something that I think about like, oh my goodness, I hate glitter. But there are certain people that hate glitter. They hate glitter because it's messy. They hate glitter because it gets everywhere. They hate glitter because it takes so long to clean up and you never truly clean it up. They hate glitter because glitter lingers within the environment in which it bursts for a long period of time. Glitter in itself is noticeable but unnoticeable at the same time. It is memorable but not memorable. Glitter is messy. Glitter is beautiful. Glitter is sticky. Glitter holds on even for dear life, even if you don't want it. Glitter leaves evidence. So I was listening to a conversation that a particular gentleman was having, and he was talking about glitter, and he was like, glitter in itself, right, is like grief. When it explodes everywhere. Everyone can see it. Everyone can touch it. Everyone can know, or everybody knows that glitter is here. And that is the grief, right? But in the preparations and in time, we clean up the glitter because we can't live under glitter, right? We clean up the glitter. And when the glitter is finally cleaned up, you assume that everything is spotless. And then, right, when you're done cleaning up, you go outside and then somebody says, oh, your hand is full of glitter. And you're like, oh, okay. So that's grief, right? Grief is like glitter. So somebody would remind you that, oh, you're grieving. Or they wouldn't say that, oh, you're grieving. They would say like, oh, you have glitter on your hands. And glitter is something that everybody notices. The minute you have glitter on your face, somebody would try and take it off, or somebody would tell you about it. Glitter is obvious, but not obvious. You understand? So you would walk outside, somebody would say you've got glitter on your hands and it's still a lot. And then you clean it off. And then as time goes, you slowly but surely get the residue of glitter off of you, off of your life, off of everything. But glitter never truly ever goes away, especially if it has exploded in such a big way. And when we're talking about exploded, we're talking about a dynamite. Because when somebody passes on, when you lose something, when you get divorced, when you lose a job, when somebody dies on you, right? That is exploding everywhere. That is dynamite. Mm-hmm. That is dynamite in itself, and it explodes everywhere. So we let glitter resonate with dynamite and explosions and so forth. It's like a burst pipe. Everything is wet, right? So you clean up, and over time, slowly but surely, you're cleaning off the glitter, you're cleaning off the glitter, you're cleaning off the glitter, you're cleaning off the glitter. You will see pieces of glitter now and then. So you are sitting in your house and you look at the window, then you notice that there's a little bit of glitter there. And that's you sitting in a classroom, and then you remember that whoever you lost used to say this, and it can make you angry. It can make you angry. It can make you upset, right? Because you just cleaned it. You just cleaned it. You just let it go. You have cleaned up the glitter. You know, we did the whole sweeping of the house. We did the mopping. We wiped off surfaces. We bought, what is that guy? Mr. Bob's sponges or something like that. Whoever. Yeah. Clean sponges. I don't know. Smiley sponges. Yes. We bought all of that. We bought the Big Mac and the what, and we cleaned. And you can imagine the frustration of looking at your window and noticing that there's glitter. Not one, not two, not ten, but a cluster, a school of glitter. And it becomes angering, right? Because you thought you cleaned. So with grief, it's you thought you've healed. You thought that you are fine. And then one day in your office, one day at work, you just have a meltdown. And you're like, I thought I was over this. It was such a long time ago. And that is why people say things like, and it's very insensitive, by the way, when people say things like, no, but the person died 2 years ago, get over it. Or the person died a long time ago, get over it. Or the person, it's been 6 months, get over it. Grief is like glitter, chummy. It's angering. It's there. It's in little corners. You can't truly get glitter off. And that's why I was like, I get it. I understand when it comes to glitter, that glitter, ne? Glitter is a troublesome something. It's wild out here in the glitter world. It's wild because you could be doing absolutely nothing and nothing in the world triggered you, and then you turn around and there's glitter. So you clean up that glitter on your window, right? And you have an entire meltdown and you're having a breakdown, and it is what it is. And you clean up, and then the next day you wake up and you continue with your life because you don't think about glitter. Nobody ever thinks that, oh my goodness, there might be glitter pieces somewhere. No. It's just the same as we don't think that, oh, I might get triggered by grief today. Nobody ever thinks like that. Like, ooh. Today, I must wear an umbrella because somebody might just trigger me. You know, nobody says that. Nobody thinks like that. You get up, you feel okay, you feel fine, and we move most. So we move and we are walking slowly and we're taking our baby steps. And then you put on your favorite boots. You put on your favorite boots and you go you go and do your thing. You're out there, you're walking around, and you come back home, and then you take your boots off, and on your socks, you notice that there's glitter. But it's 2 a.m. and here you are back at square one. You notice that there's glitter. That's when you notice that, there's so much silence. If Madala was here, we'd be talking. If Huhu was here, we'd be talking. Or if I had my job, we would be. If I had my job, I would be talking to my colleagues. Or if my husband was here, we would be doing this. Or if my wife was here, we would be doing this. It doesn't mean that the difficulties and the challenges that caused the divorce in the first place are not still there. It just means that when you go through grief, you don't overlook the basics. You don't overlook the foundation, but you also have a sense of remembrance in terms of when it was good, and when it was really bad. And that is what we are dealing with. We're dealing with the aftermath of grief, because grief is that whole process that you go through. Grief is not just for death. It can stem from the end of a relationship, job loss, loss of health or independence. Now imagine if I say something like loss of health, right? And we would like to understand this a little bit better. would like to understand this a little bit better, and we would like to honestly dive into it, you know. If we are talking about the loss of health, how would we be grieving, right? Grieving the loss of your health would be the sadness people that used to be so active feel now that they are unable to be the people that they used to be. So in all of this, there's a whole process. That is why the most hardest time for you to deal with somebody's grief is when it all simmers down. When it all simmers down, I'm talking about, like, even if it's death, the first couple of days we're not feeling it, we finish burying and everything. Then from that day after we finish burying and we finish everything, that becomes the most difficult time when you're dealing with somebody else's, when you're dealing with somebody else's grief. And that is why, in most cases, relationships, even marriages, it's only that, of course, we would like to look for relevant reasons to end marriages and relationships, right? We'd like to look for relevant reasons. But if many of us were being honest, right? When you lose someone and you are married or you are in a serious and committed relationship, right? How your spouse handles you in that time determines whether or not the relationship is going to be a success or not. It determines whether or not you're going to be still married or not. It depends. It really honestly depends. Because if somebody loses their mother and they have a spouse that wants them to get over it, yeah, ne? The minute you say, yeah, but your mom died 3 weeks ago, get over it. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to look at you, and in that moment, I am going to realize that you are not the person for me. That I made a mistake. That I'm not supposed to be married to a person with a mind like yours. No, Chome, I'm not supposed to be with you. That it's in the details, right? That come with the loss of somebody, especially with a parent. Many people split up after they lose parents, especially if they were extremely close to their parents. Many people split up after they lose a parent. Many people split up after they lose children in terms of death. And even addictions, right? They also divide homes tremendously because it is like the death of the unit. So if we are talking about the loss of health, for example, we would be talking about what I used to be. And now I am no longer this that I used to be. And my identity, my whole entire existence was created around this that I am. And that is why people say that when you pray, you must pray for health as well. Because it is something that many of us take for granted. And we only realize that a little later.
Care that goes where you go. That's International Travel Insurance through NHP. We facilitate cover of up to 10 million Namibian dollars per member for medical emergencies abroad as part of your membership. No extra charge. To receive your policy within minutes, simply register at nhp.com.na before you travel. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihoetike kovano ile koshuana kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doinawa nune udo otukwetira o special ngeta shake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka okone ujendi finawa nokumuna oijamo ilinawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Good evening and welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. The number in studio is 0832888401. Today is Monday, the 2nd of March. Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, chekane. So we were using the, should we call it a concept? We were using the concept of glitter in the same narrative or in the same pathway as grief, right? And the reason that we are using it is because glitter is everywhere, right? And when we say glitter is everywhere, we say that grief changes you in so many ways. It changes you in so many ways, and sometimes you realize it and sometimes you don't realize it. Sometimes it's conscious, it's cautious, it's conscious, and sometimes it's unconsciously, and sometimes it's intentional and sometimes it's unintentional, but it definitely does change you. It changes you in one way or another. And when we're talking about grief, ladies and gentlemen, let me try and explain what happens when we have lost, right? There are people in this world that have never lost anybody that is close to them. And they are big. You understand? For example, let's say you're 35 years old. You have all your grandparents. Just imagine that. Like, wow. You're like, wow. 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 You know, you have all your you're 35 years old. You have all your grandparents, all your friends, all your siblings. You have everybody. And every time you hear about death, it's always from somebody that is far away. It's not something that will give you sleepless nights. And you have attended funerals because, I mean, come on. You have attended funerals, but it's not of immediate people. So when you go and experience grief in your 30s, right? And you experiencing grief in your 20s, those are completely two different chapters. So me that has experienced grief in my 20s, the likelihood of me managing it a little bit better than you that's experiencing it now in your mid 30s, the chances are higher that I would manage it better because I've experienced grief from my 20s and I kind of know what it feels like. So the first blow of grief, right, happens the very first time it touches base, when it touches your home, when it touches somebody that is close to you, when you lose somebody that you love. You can only say you've lost someone when you loved them. You can only say that when you had appreciated their presence, when you have acknowledged their presence and their roles in your life, that's when you can say that you have been grieving or you've mourned. So it's a big blow. And then the next person that passes on, it's like a circle, right? We put a dot there and that's the very first person that is close to you that has passed away. And then the next time somebody passes away, there's a circle around that dot. So that's where your grief goes to. Then the third person and then the fourth person and then many of us, for example, are having up to maybe 40 up to maybe 40 circles around our initial dot. So every single time there's a circle added, we become a little bit more accustomed to it. We become used to it to some degree, and we kind of know the drill. But you, that is, it's happening to the first time, like, yeah, it's like, it's a whole nightmare. So that's what we're talking about. That's what we are putting it all inside there. So grief in itself, right, is the death, is not just the death of somebody, but it can also stem from the ending of a relationship, a marriage, job, loss, or loss of health or independence. Now let's talk about independence as a death, right? Independence happens when, for example, you don't know why people get depressed when they are no longer financially able to sustain themselves or financially able to maintain themselves. But part of this kind of loss, right, is that you also, to some degree, lose your independence, because now you become a dependent. When you had a job, you could choose what you're doing and where you're going. But then now, when you don't have your job, right, you have to ask somebody else for money. You are dependent. You ask somebody else for money. You ask somebody else for, you depend on somebody else. And that in itself is a loss of an identity. It's a loss of who you used to be, because you never used to ask anybody for anything. And now here you are, you're asking for toothpaste, and you're also notifying somebody that there's no bread in the house. And that in itself, right, is devastation. That one is a deep devastation that happens to a lot of people. And we can't truly understand it if we can't understand the loss of independence. And especially with financial independence. And then even with independence, we can also talk about the fact that you used to be a person that could go anywhere. You used to be a person that could just decide that you're walking to the shop. But now you are sitting in a cell and you are waiting for people to open you at a specific time. You are waiting to be taken to, like, you have to fall into a routine because of a crime you did or did not commit, because that's also the loss of freedom, right? So that's also, in one way or another, it's the loss of independence, right? And now you are basically a dependent of the system. You depend on the system. You depend on the system for light, water, electricity, and sanity. So these are things that might mess with you. And these are things that we have to look at. That we're looking at. We're looking at them. Okay, physical and mental symptoms. It can cause fatigue, insomnia, headaches, difficulty concentrating, and weakened immunity. So these are the causes now of grief, right? So have you ever noticed that when you're going through grief, there's this heaviness that is around, and that heaviness is because we are not translating it into the correct words. So sometimes it's fatigue, where you're tired and you're sleepy and it's just a nightmare, or insomnia, where you're wide awake and you can't sleep for nothing. You can't sleep. You can't, like, you are just wide awake, chummy. You are wide awake, wide awake, wide awake. And then we've got headaches. And these headaches are because you're thinking a lot, or you're trying to not think about it, but you're thinking about it. And then you're thinking about the thing or the person. And then you have difficulty concentrating. And in this time, nobody actually realizes that they have difficulty concentrating. I've never been in a grief situation and I was like, oh my goodness, by the way, I have difficulty concentrating. No. I just have difficulty concentrating. It's not something that I can pinpoint. I can see the matriarch. I'm under no problem. I'm but you concentrate. Like, no. It just goes over your head completely. And some, for the most part, some get sick. Some fall a little ill along the way. And number three is no right way. There is no strict timeline. And it is not a linear process of moving on. There's just no strict timeline. Which, oh, we're grieving for 2 weeks. Like you're writing a question. Like you're writing a test. Like, oh, we're going to be grieving for, we're going to be grieving for 2 hours and 15 minutes. And after that, we're going to be hunky dory and we're going to be okay. There's no correct way either, because it's not in alphabetical order. Sometimes, right? You go through acceptance first and then you go and go through shock and then you go and go through bargaining and then you go through acceptance again. And then you like, it's messy. It's messy. And there are dimensions. It includes emotional, physical, cognitive, social, and spiritual reactions. And these are the different dimensions in which grief can live. Like we said at the beginning of our program, is that there are so many compartments that grief touches, and there are so many elements of grief that linger on and ooze into things that it has no place going into, right? But it goes because it's disrespectful. If we had to compare grief with a garden plant, we would say grief is like mint. Being watered. Mint is a disrespectful plant. It has no boundaries. It has no direction. It is free flowing and it goes anywhere. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. And yourself?
And you know, I'm a bit fat here and there, but I'm fabulous. And you?
Oh, could be all right. Could be. And things could always be better.
You know. How are you, Tata Mike?
It could always be better.
It could always be better, but you know, we're trying. Yeah, we're getting there. One cry at a time.
One cry at a time.
Yes, one cry at a time and one step at a time.
That cry is needed as well.
Yeah, it is.
When the body wants to cry, let it cry.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what it is.
So it's releasing it.
Yeah,
when nature calls.
No, I'm not going to customer. You know? So what's going to happen?
The bladder is just going to get damaged and then get histamine.
Exactly. No, I'm preparing for a show tomorrow and then I said, let me disturb this lady.
Please do. We're talking about secondary grief today. We're talking about secondary grief.
Secondary grief?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a heavy one.
Yeah, it is. So we are at the foundation. So we are first defining grief. We're giving little examples of what secondary grief could be to a layman. And I was also using the example of Hage's death. You know, how Namibia had gone through, or many Namibians are still going through secondary grief due to the loss of him as a person. And for example, even the pensioners, right? Uhagile, then he, you know, it's Uga. My president promised 3,000, you know, and he said that it was going to come. And that thing of if he was here, we will regard it instead of a 100.
Yeah.
You know, and the youth, I think, out of all our presidents, he was the most loved by the youth because he was a very youthful kind of guy.
So they, on social media, sometimes here and there you see somebody post him, especially, now that February came and went, and the 4th of February was his anniversary. And then the 8th was Founding Fathers anniversary. I saw a lot of posts that remembered him in his upbeat times. And these were all posts that were done by youths. You understand that we'll never get a president as cool as he was. And for me, it's like, oh, I get it. I see you.
Yeah, no. I get what you say. But you know, the funny with grief.
Yeah.
Is that we don't, and this is a bigger issue, you know?
Mm.
It's kind of like underlying principle for why we want to cling to something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's that we don't learn to adapt.
Mm. We have difficulty adjusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not adjusting. It's really adapting.
Okay.
You know, that means when something happened to you, especially like a loss, it's just probably, you know, move from, you know, from that place or just shifting certain things, you know, or let me think about this. But adapting is that this is a new situation, and I to learn how I can live in the new situation in a way, you understand? Yeah. So now we stick to what we know, what felt comfortable, what, you know, the relationship maybe we had with that person, and we still focus that. We just still focus on that, and that's what causes pain, and that causes where we don't move. You understand? You're not moving anymore. You are in a standstill because of the that situation. So what I'm saying is not that it doesn't mean you shouldn't grieve, you know, because grieving is part of the process
of that
healing process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But time we are not grieving. We actually just stuck, you know, by looking at just like what we say. Yes, there's this element of us celebrate his life, how what he has done to us. Things that he have done alive and where we are because of him. But then we get stuck. If he was here,
he
would still be what? If he was this, he would still be that. So now you're not moving anymore. You know, you're not living anymore. You're stuck, you know, and that's when adaptation comes. It's a new situation. And that comes into our life. Whether it's your mother passed away, whether it's a friend, whether it's any other loss anywhere. You could have lost a job. You could have lost something, dignity because of the disease. You could have, you know, there are so many things that we can lose. You understand? If we just, you know, stuck, if you don't learn to adapt, that means you will just stuck to what it was rather than to a new environment you find yourself.
But wouldn't we say that we as human beings find it difficult to adapt to new situations, especially when it comes to a loss, because there is an element of grief, not grief, but guilt when it comes to letting go of things such as people.
Yeah, no, it is difficult because we are moving into an untraded territory, you know. I have never been in a situation where I didn't have my mom.
You understand? Yeah.
I have not been in a situation where I didn't have a job.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
Yeah.
We have not been healthy.
We're not being healthy. Now I'm diagnosed with cancer or HIV.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So it's a territory that we haven't been, and we don't want to go into that. It's whole question, you know, process of grief, you know. We go through denial and bargaining, you know, something acceptance. So of those, we go through that, and different people go through that at different levels.
Yes,
you know.
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a process that we we have to understand that we have to go through that and understand an individual as well to say, yes, at this point in time, this is heavy on me and I don't think I'm accepting this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the reality is what it is. And over time, probably I'm going to learn to understand what it is, you know, and that's the adaptation that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. But are we not impatient maybe with ourselves?
We are not.
Are we not impatient with ourselves then? Because I feel that many of us are very impatient with ourselves, and that is why we get stuck in loops, especially emotionally. Yeah. We get stuck in loops because we are impatient with ourselves. And that is why I use the analogy of glitter. You know glitter, Moss? Glitter is messy. So even if you clean it up, after 2 weeks, you'll still find a piece of glitter. It's just like hair. Like when somebody does their hair in the house, ne? Oh, you will find hair somewhere. You know?
Yeah.
So grief is we were using that analogy of saying that, grief is like glitter. No matter how many times you clean it up, it takes a while for it to truly clear up. But do we have the time to wait until it truly clears up?
Yeah, that's actually that's a point. That's actually the main point.
Mm.
We are impatient because we don't think this is a process.
Yeah.
So we want, if I'm depressed, I just want to wake up tomorrow and I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the body has a mechanism of healing itself.
Mm.
And no matter how much you force it, when
it heals at its own pace.
Your mother died and it really, really, really hurt you and depresses you. You cannot just wish that away and then in days you are on. Your body doesn't work that way.
Mm.
It has a healing process, its own healing process, its own program.
Mm.
So sometimes force it. As you said, we become impatient, and then you force it, and then you think that you are okay, but you are not. You are not, because you haven't gone through the process that would bring a true peace of mind, or whatever you may call it, where now you find yourself. I'm completely, you know, healed. And when I'm talking healed, I'm not talking in a religious sense.
Mm.
I'm talking in terms of, I'm okay, you know, with myself and with what happened.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is what it's even, I think of even on a physical, whether it's emotionally or physical.
Mm-hmm.
If you build up Okapunda for years.
You want it to go tomorrow.
You think that if I go and have some laps, you know, tomorrow, and then I'm starting to look myself, it hasn't moved. And what happened? You give up because you think that it should. If I just run 2, 3, 4 times, it should be going away.
Mm.
No, you build it up.
Yeah, you took a long time to build it, so it's going to take a long time to break it down.
Exactly.
Mm.
So the process, you have to go through the process, and you have to be patient with the process.
Mm.
And that's also what I told people when they come for counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, this is not magic.
Mm-hmm.
And people think that you go to a counselor, you talk to him, and then when you come back, hallelujah.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's a process. You have to go through such a process for quite a while to get where you want to go. And that's the impatience that you're talking about.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
And what if we feel guilty?
I think the other thing is that we are living also in the world of quick response.
Yeah.
You know? So one, I get it now. You understand?
Mm.
We're not willing to wait because we are now accustomed to get what we want at instant.
Mm.
You understand? And that has become, our minds start to be programmed in that way.
Mm.
So we can't sit and wait anymore.
Mm.
So we become more impatient, as you're saying, because we are now programmed to think like this, you know? But the body doesn't work that
way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then also, Tate Mike, I wanted us to break down what we are mourning. Not why, but what are we mourning? Because grief is most the loss, right? So we grief is the loss. And I think that many of us don't understand what it is that we are mourning, and that is why we don't understand grief, and we don't understand mourning, and we don't understand our primary losses and secondary losses. We don't understand that this is a whole entire book, right? About one subject. So maybe if I could give an example of what we are mourning, right? If we are putting it in, let's put it in a marriage setting, and this marriage is going through a divorce, and it is finalized and it's done, and everybody is gone back to their original families and original surnames and everything, right? So in this case, what are we mourning? In this case, we are mourning what has been, what we have, and what could have been. And these are three different stages of our lives that we are looking at individually, but I feel like we don't actually see things for what they are, and that is why it takes so long for us to heal or to go through the process of grief, because we are not looking at what it actually is. We want to just pinpoint, like you said, quick responses, right? And that is why I wanted to talk about secondary loss, because secondary loss for me is looking at a woman that has never, I've never seen my friend's mother, ne? She lost her husband last year, my friend's dad. I've never seen this woman drive a day in my life. Ever. Ever. I didn't even know she can drive. Up until one day, she gets into the car and she's driving. And we're like, where are you going? She's like, I'm going to Mandangwa. And we're like, sister, we understand you think you can drive, but you need a driver's license. You need a driver's license. And she's like, I have a driver's license. I've had a driver's license for 40 years.
Yeah.
And for me, secondary grief is you now having to drive and fill the shoes of your husband because he's no longer here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I think when you said what is the morning, to shock you is that sometimes we're mourning for our own. Let's say, for example, your mother. Your mother passed on. Are you really not crying for your mother?
Yeah.
You're not mourning for your mother. You're mourning for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You're mourning for your loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and normally, to tell you the truth, it's a loss of emotional attachment that we have with that person, especially emotional attachment that we have of things maybe that we lost.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional attachment is that what that make us, you understand, as you said, what that make us, the job, for example, I have dignity, I'm respected, and now nobody seems to even look at me and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we mourning for the loss of what we had, yeah, not really about the things that we lost, but the
benefits that came with what we had,
what it make us, how what it make us, and what it make us feel.
Mm-hmm.
You understand how they make us, and even when you lose somebody, you're not mourning that person. You're mourning how they make you feel and what they made you. You understand? Yeah. So when I'm around, this is my husband, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's my title. That's my status.
I didn't have that status anymore.
So now I'm a widow.
Yeah.
I have to now adjust or adapt to being a widow.
Yeah. So let's say, for example, I'm mourning for the loss of the dream. We were having a dream, and he was deluded with that dream, you know, and that dream is gone.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm.
You act mourning for your own
for yourself. Like
in so many ways, and how selfish we are. That's how we are. We're actually selfish in that regard.
Yeah.
So when somebody's mourning, we said, "Oh, he's so touched so much." No, you actually mourning for your own loss, mm-hmm. whatever this means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you understand? Yeah. So
because when your friend dies, you're not really mourning that your friend died. You're mourning the fact your friend is no longer going to be around to be your friend.
Exactly. You're mourning for
yourself. Hey. Which I'm not going to have a friend anymore.
Just listen to when have you ever been traditional mourning in any culture? Let Ashwapa better, you know.
Yes.
When they are mourning, they will say, "So we will not be able to get what anymore. We will not be able to." Mm. So it's all about what they what they will say. So we have lost the income, you know?
Yeah, we have lost our interests.
Looking at this, we have lost an ATM.
Yes,
our ATM is gone. And, you know, we're saying it in a funny way, but it's exactly, we are that selfish and we are mourning our own losses. And most emotionally, physically, or whatever, it is us.
Yeah.
It is you. Mm. Yeah. So... And that's where now, where earlier I said, you know, and something maybe that you also focus when you go ahead,
mm-hmm.
is really looking at, if we learn to shift our mind in terms of this is a new situation, it's like this. When you are in winter, what do?
You wear jackets.
You dress in the way how winter the weather feels, is like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you are in summer, you definitely adapt, you know, to the situation.
Mm.
You understand? I'm not saying when something tragic happened to you, you move on so quickly, adapt. So that's not what I'm saying.
Mm.
You go through the process, as we were talking about being impatient, go through the process that you need to go to get better, you know, and learn, now understand this. And this is the only way we can move forward, because sometimes many of are stuck in the past, you know.
Mm.
You stuck in the past. You live in the emotion of that event, you know, day out.
Mm.
You know, you still. If my mother was here, you still living. If I had a job, you still living. If I didn't have cancer, you still living. If I was not moving anymore, you understand.
Mm.
So and you have that now. The situation completely changed. No matter you live in there, you're not moving.
Mm.
Until you probably you could be gone as well without have now lived your life.
Yeah.
You know, to the fullest.
Mm. And that is why I find it so amusing when somebody has something like liver damage, right? Because of drinking.
Yeah.
And when they are in hot water, you know, at the hospital and it's what, you know, the prayers that we make to God. Right? I will never do this again, and I will never do this again, and I won't do this again, and I won't do this again. And then we get our health back. And 6 months later, where are we? We are in a bar.
You see?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's human being. And definitely human being. So when we are in trouble, we can bargain with God,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
I would never do that again. I will, you know.
Mm.
And our memories are so short.
We are like goldfish. We are like goldfish out here. And that is why I think that at most funerals, right, the person was a very bad person, but we have all the energy to write beautiful eulogies because our memories are so short.
I thought those are just being courteous in the way that one on a person's last day to where he was a thief, he killed so many people, he was, no, that's it's just being able to highlight the good things in person's life, rather than actually, because the thing is that what I am to you is not what I'm to the other person.
Yeah.
If I start to describe this person in this bad way, that's not how the person sees them, you know, then at the last day of the person, you don't then want to create that kind of atmosphere.
Or picture, you know?
So, yeah, whether what we say make any difference for him to go to heaven or to hell, that it doesn't really matter. So that's up to him and God. Yeah. So, man, I just pop in, you know, gotta go to work.
Ah, thank you so much. This was very insightful.
You're welcome. I just had to say something. I just tune in for a minute, and then you had talked something. I said, well, I never really. I thought you had changed actually to 12 to almost like 11 to some kind of 12. I thought your program changed.
No, on Sunday I'm 8 to 12.
It's by accident, actually. I just got on. I was always on, you know.
Oh.
And then you're still around.
Of course.
This time, yeah.
No. On Sundays I'm 8 to 12, and then weekdays I'm still the same slot, 9 to 12.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Tete Mike.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hi. Welcome. If you have just joined us, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. We're talking about secondary grief. We're talking about grief in general, but we're talking mainly about secondary grief and what it is. So now, ladies and gentlemen, if I had to put it in layman's terms, and I had to put it in a sway kind of way, what is it? We would say secondary grief is the aftermath of the primary loss. The aftermath of the primary loss is the aftertaste of the first thing that you ate. So first of all, primarily, you say that you have lost your health. Right? So the secondary grief would be now you being assisted to be taken to the
toilet, and you being assisted to do this, and dignity and all of that. Good evening.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you guys can call in and we can have a swell conversation. Because vele, this is a conversation. Okay, so secondary grief is basically after you lose your health, right? Or so you are diagnosed now with cancer and you are at the last stages of cancer, for example.
Good evening.
Oh, Mami Mitchell.
Yes, Tata Buena.
Good evening, Mami. Oh, every time I call, I just want to find out, is this live program now?
Yes, it's live. Of course it's live. Today is the 2nd of March, 2026. It's a Monday evening.
And we have never spoken since last year.
Ah, when I spoke to you this year.
Yes. No.
I did.
I do listen to your program. I know some of them are in, and I listen. And I don't think we have spoken.
I've been going through a lot.
Oh, everyone is going through a lot.
Ngai Huangwini.
Hi,
2026 is for the year I need to buckle up, my dear.
Hi, Amy, na man di irong ano shirong ba? Don, di mo ko karan ba kasi nagkonga tuim mo imuing yung yari sa.
Watunapikurong
ako nung mo pera. Hi, pa siyuk chobat tete. The kind of things that you are discussing there with Tete Mike, this is, we just need to relate it to our own life.
Yes.
And then we appropriate them very well and deal with them. I love the courage and the declaration that you're making that good and no shikarita is to me. You see, especially when it comes to relationship.
Mm.
I don't know what you meant there by saying cash money. Bob, what? This is something that they make mention.
Mm.
That Bob Cat or Bob Man or Bob Small Man, something like that.
Okay.
But I will try to. I know I got it, but let me find the proper context.
No problem.
So my we just need to, you know, when you give up, then what?
Mm-hmm.
I always, you know, many challenges are coming and things like that. And many times we are just alone.
Mm.
For me, it's like I've been lonely since my wife left. Except when my children come in there and this other one, you know, for social and...
Now and then, But like in your case, Tatebwana, when we talk about secondary grief, right? I think you have already gone through the primary grief. The primary grief is the actual loss of your wife. The actual loss.
Okay.
Like that one of, oh my goodness, my wife has passed away. Oh my goodness, it's a funeral. Oh my goodness, that is the primary loss, right? So, secondary loss, Tatebwana, secondary loss is you being lonely. Because once upon a time, right? You had a person way that you dedicated your entire life to. You just didn't know that entire life anani is not until we are 78, both of us. Nani, entire life would mean that yours would be cut short and I would still have to continue without you. It's that feeling. That is secondary grief, that one. That one of your best friend is no longer here to share stories with. Secondary grief is you learning feminine products because your children's mother is no longer there to be their mother, so you have to be both. Secondary grief.
Sorry for cutting
you. No problem.
My boss used to tell me especially you must balance up. Make sure that the children are now brought up in the way of a man and also a way of a woman. So you just give that kind of example, just to balance up, you know, to pray now, to perform, you know, those various roles, you know, those different roles, gender roles. And sorry, go ahead, Mene, on the secondary grief.
And that is very true. Let's just go with what your boss said. That's very true. But then also there's an element of sympathy that comes with you. You have so much sympathy towards them that have lost their mother. So you are more tender than a person that doesn't know. You are more tender. So you can't just be this strict father and this what father. Mm-mm. Because you understand their loss because you are also going through a loss.
Yes. What you have mentioned in the matriarch is something very significant.
Mm.
Very important indeed that you understand their situation.
Yeah.
You know, you are more
compassionate.
Sometimes I tell people, but why do you have to beat the child?
Mm.
Now I imagine that if I could be beating those children again, they are
now you're causing matters. Trauma on trauma.
On trauma?
Double trauma. Extra trauma. Oh, because the trauma that you face is not enough.
I always, you know, during that time, after that, you know, it's a lot of interaction. And I tell people, why do you have to beat the children at the first place? And that's why they even forgot the Bible. They say, provoke not the children to anger. Why can't you just apply the correcting measure and correct the child and say, listen, what you did is not good. Even if mommy was here or God or whoever, he will not be pleased with you. And therefore, don't do that again. And you tell the person the consequences. I think for me, I become more tender, mercy and things like that, maybe because of the girl. And I think that might have contributed to my transformation of just behavior, social behavior, and many other things.
Because grief does change you. Grief changes you in so many ways, and you can't even name all of the ways that it has changed you.
I think I believe, and then I have to believe that. Because, like I used to tell you, that there were even times, you know, when I could go into their room, Coco, Daddy, and then, of course, you talk this one. Until the time now, when you knock 2-3 minutes, you have to wait. Daddy, what is this? Then you go and come down.
And I know that you have to wait outside. Yeah.
I'm telling you. So this is the right, I think, in a way. So one can also be thinking that positioning yourself now strategically, and I imagine that maybe when I get somebody in me, like, I'm so settled, I'm so here, maybe it will also be now a nice kind of interaction, a nice kind of that compassion, because it will be very difficult now because we have accustomed to this kind of values now. But yes, the way you approach and things like that. And I think that's how it has been. Because just that for you are free to go in there in your wife's room, in your own room, your common room, in the bathroom, when you know, because the one that is there, and you know you don't have anything. This time you learn how to calculate your decision, your steps.
Yeah.
Very cautious. So otherwise, how have you been, mommy?
I have been fine. But also, talking about this, right? I think that many of us, especially when it comes to grief and to loss, we like to only speak about the negatives that the grief has brought, right? But I think it is also very important for us to talk about, it's not that we are celebrating the death of somebody else. It is celebrating our growth in a very difficult situation. Like saying, for example, that I would say that I'm proud of you for even, you know, putting into consideration that these are young girls and they are growing. So you are going to hear them and understand them instead of being the harsh father that says, because that was also a possibility. That was also an option. You know, it was also an option because I think many of us, especially in grief situations, we tend to latch out because we don't know how to articulate ourselves when it comes to also being in pain. So now you go there, you want to talk to them because you are lonely, and now the people are telling you must wait 2-3 minutes. Yeah? And now you get angry because Nale, you could just go into the room and then you talk to your wife, whether she's in the bathroom or whatever she's doing, and you are sitting over here and she's just finishing whatever she's doing in the bathroom, you know, and all of a sudden now there's a certain kind of limit and there's a certain kind of boundary because these children are not your wife, they are your children, and you have learned to adapt to this and you have learned to grow into this. And I think that it has also taught you patience. It's like saying that when a Casanova has a firstborn baby girl, he changes. Because now he thinks about all the bad things that he has done to people's daughters, and now he doesn't want things like that. So he is looking for remorse by God. Kucha undashanja paifemwe me bro.
There's no way you have to be transformed. Especially because you are passing through challenges and loneliness and all these things.
Yeah.
And you might have also acquired some insight. Maybe you have listened to, you know, during, I wish those days were the time that you were actually you are grown up to you came to this level where you can cancel people through the radio. There was nothing, mommy. You know what I could do? I could only, luckily, because we have some, you know, good system, I put music there. I listen. And remember, and you know that this is a traumatizing kind of incident because it is due to some negligence.
Yes.
Fear of the highest. And you know, some of the doctors were telling me, Pastor Brandon, now what are you going to do now? And if you now get to this level of the showing and then these children, when they grow, they might hear those things because these things, they take no who, so what, what. And you know, because of the love and the things like that, you know, that time we were more immersed in the word of God. God takes revenge. The vengeance is in the end, all this kind of thing. And they said, one important thing they mentioned, this is going to traumatize your children.
Yeah.
So they'll be hearing.
So,
and you see this kind of thing, it really teaches us how to really cope and adapt to the prevailing situation. And at the end of the day, you become more, you know, experienced overcoming them and coping and doing like that. That's just the way you used to tell us how to do it, to do away with stress, depression and some of these other things. So, but I just did, when I was listening to you and at the mic and then you were really talking about these things, I say, ah, thank God, man, nothing has come back.
My dear, secondary grief. So also, when we are talking about secondary grief, Tata Buana, I want us to go into this conversation because I think that you should also acknowledge that you have done an immaculate job. When we talk about secondary grief, you're welcome, Tata Buana. When we talk about secondary grief, right? We're talking about the loss of shared daily activities such as eating together.
Yes, you know. So I understand, mommy. I understand that it includes a lot of aspects, most of the elements. One could be thinking that, yeah, I wish my wife was here or whoever, so could be doing some administration when I'm doing these things. And then because most of those things, we used to do them already.
Yeah.
Jumping around. That's why people, when sometimes people see me, they say, oh, you know, even those white men used to see me. Where are the children? Where are those girls? When I tell them,
they're big.
Your company, maybe they are there in your management, cut that day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we start laughing. But we thank God. So we can always see how we can share. There are very compassionate people there, people with understanding and very kind, who can really offer the best. Because many a times, people also forget about how to serve each other. Submit yourself unto one another. It's not the wife here. Submit yourself unto one another and serve each other in love, in respect, in all these kind of things. So I don't know how well people are missing this kind of value, these values or norms, man. It's so bad anyway.
It's true.
But are we getting God to help us to overcome this secondary and grief?
We shall.
Yeah. Thank you very much, man. God bless you.
All right. God bless, Tata Buana. Thank you so much.
Okay, ma'am.
Ciao, ciao.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hi. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Pulling Heartstrings. We're talking about secondary grief. So secondary grief, right, is you now sitting at the dinner table by yourself because your spouse is no longer there. Secondary grief is you watching U2's favorite television show alone. Secondary grief is you having to drive yourself home after years of being picked up. Secondary grief is you adjusting to the one-bedroom flat after you're coming from a four-bedroom house. Secondary grief is you going jogging alone while it used to be an activity that you do together every Saturday. Secondary grief would be you waking up and not doing anything because you've been going to work at 8 o'clock every single day. Secondary grief is the loss of your identity, where you used to be a police officer and now you're just a guy. You used to be a secretary and now you're just a girl. You used to be a wife and now you're a widow. You used to be a husband and now you are a divorced guy. It's the loss of the identity. Secondary grief is the loss of an extra income in a household. You know, people say things like, oh no, that girl, they just married you for money and what. Oh, you guys married each other for money and now they're going through the divorce and now there's no money anymore, yada, yada, yada. But people still go through secondary grief. People still go through primary grief. People still have losses, whether or not you truly understand why they were married to each other or not. And when it all trickles down, right? I know even the baddest of the baddest, even the worst of the worst, right? You still miss the good times. Financial loss, for example, or secondary financial loss, secondary loss in a financial aspect is, for example, having to dumb down your life. Because you are going through this divorce and you can't afford to do your nails. You can't afford to get your hair braided. You have to watch YouTube tutorials, friend, to learn how to do your hair at home, because you have to sacrifice between bread for lunchbox and rasta. And even the cheapest of the cheapest, even that one, you cannot afford it. Because you are getting a divorce. And the divorce is expensive. But you need to get out, otherwise this marriage is going to kill you. Is you walking away with nothing and having to start over, but you had everything. And that is why people think that people are fighting every day in court, right? For material things. But it's not fighting for material things. It's because the secondary grief is so big and it hovers over so many things. And finances is one of them. So that's why you can find somebody tooth or nail. My dear, we're not agreeing. Even maintenance, we're not agreeing. We're not agreeing. Because you're duping me then. Like, but one wants to maintain the lifestyle that he has had and the other one just wants to make it. So it's dangalus there. So that's secondary grief. Ladies and gentlemen, we're diving. We are diving.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low. Because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida. Ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye eko kurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio in case you would like to call in and participate in our conversation. We're talking about secondary grief because we can. We're talking about secondary grief because it's something that doesn't really get spoken about, I think.
I'm the first. Hey guys.
clock it. Yeah, we're clocking it. It is what it is. All right. So secondary grief refers to the emotional distress caused by the ripple effect losses that follow a primary loss. So a primary loss is a direct loss, you know, is a direct death of something. It could be the death of a job. The death of a job is you losing it. Yeah, the death of a relationship, it's you losing it. It is the death of a person, you losing them. And Tate Mike was talking about something very profound and looking at it, right? If we had to look at it, I think, right? If we had to look at it, and really, honestly, scrutinize ourselves. But I don't really want us to scrutinize ourselves. I just want us to live in the moment. But I would say that we are selfish. We are selfish creatures. We have self-preservation. We are all about the Benjamins and ourselves. We are all about the Huggins and us. We are all about the Nuyomas and us. We are all about the money. We are all about us. And I think that when we look at the grieving process, we have to look at, in order for you to understand secondary grief, you have to understand what it is that you are mourning. What are you mourning? No, I'm mourning my job. Okay. What are you mourning about your job? Like, it was a very good job. Okay. Good in what sense? It paid a lot. Okay. What else? It was a very good working environment. Okay. It was a very flexible job. It's like, okay. So what are you mourning? I just told you, matriarch. You didn't actually tell me. What are you mourning? If we're being honest, many of us don't actually want to be honest about what we are mourning. And that's why it takes us a while. Because I feel like I had an epiphany tonight. I feel like it was like, fireworks in my mind. I was like, I had a light bulb moment. Like, I see where you're going. What are we mourning? And we're not talking about it that meets the eye. We're not talking about the surface kind of stuff, because it's easy for us to say that, I'm mourning the relationship, or I'm mourning the relationship because he was a nice guy. I'm mourning the fact that, we're no longer going to be together. I'm mourning the fact that, he's no longer going to be in my life. Okay. But what are you mourning? Because we still go back to the foundation of what are you mourning? Then you're like, yeah, I'm mourning the fact that he was a great guy. A great guy in what aspect? Because every question has a question, or every answer has a question. It has a follow-up question. So let's go back to the job one. Okay, so you're mourning the job, right? What are you mourning? It was a good paying job. Okay. So what are you mourning? It was a good paying job. So are you really mourning the job? Or are you mourning the money that came with the job? The money that benefits you. Hey, Jay! Did I give you a light bulb situation? Like, are you mourning the guy, or are you mourning the status that came with being married? Are you mourning the marriage, or are you mourning the status that came with being married? Are you mourning the marriage, or are you mourning the identity that came with being with this person? Are you mourning the person, or are you mourning the benefits that came with this person? Are you mourning the routines that came with this person? If we are a little bit more honest when it comes to what it is that we are mourning, I think it will be easier for us to also heal from the tragedies of life, for us to adapt to what life is throwing us. Because I feel that a lot of us say that, yeah, it's easier said than done. And it is true. It's easier said than done, because we are human. It's easier to talk about, yeah, just get up and then do this, okay? And then you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this, and you're going to be fine. It's easier for us to put it in that way, but it's not easy to do, because it's a whole routine that you have to shift. These ongoing secondary losses often include shifts in identity. So who are you without your husband, or without being a wife and a mother and a homemaker? Because that's the real thing that you're mourning with this, with a divorce. You're not mourning the marriage. You're mourning being a homemaker. You're mourning being a wife. You're mourning a home. You're mourning the identity that comes with being a wife. You're mourning the loss of routine. So every morning, right? Picture this. Your husband is the one that takes the kids to school, right? Your husband is the one that takes the kids to school because you work until 12 o'clock at night, right? Matriarch. You work until 12 o'clock at night. So you sleep now, right? You get home around 1 o'clock. You get home, you do your little daily things, and then you put everything into like little perspective and put everything into, you know, into order. And when you put everything into order like that, jealous, sharp. All right, cool. Right. Okay. You guys are good. And then you wake up at 9 o'clock, but the house is fully functional. Life has continued. Whether you are sleeping or you are awake, life has continued because it's a routine. What would be difficult, what would be a secondary loss? It's not that you miss the person. If it was a divorce, it's not that you miss the person. You miss what they represented and the roles that they had in your life. It might have been, this person might have been a terrible husband or a terrible wife, but they were immaculate parents. They never missed a beat when it came to the kids. They never missed a parents meeting. They never missed all the finances, like when I was talking about the finances, all the accounting things are all sent in on time. Every time we're doing tax returns. And now here we are, right? So when you go through a divorce, you still, life continues. That's the thing. Life continues. It's not like you lost your job or anything. No. Somebody just passed away. Yes. Work gave you time off. Yes. You had compassionate leave. Yes. You even got sick in the process, also got sick, and you have been struggling, but life still continues. You still have to go to work. You still have to put bread on this table because these people didn't ask to be born. Life doesn't stop just because you are feeling terrible. So you still have to go to work. That same job where you chill at 12 o'clock. That same job, there, you're still going. You're still the matriarch. You're still going at 9 o'clock and knocking off at 12 o'clock. Yep. Still you. You are still the matriarch. Outside of being a grieving widow or a dumped ex or a divorcee, you are still the matriarch. You are still an employee of Eagle FM. You still have responsibilities. Your responsibilities didn't fade because you're having a rough time in your life. They didn't. So you come and then you work. 12 o'clock hits and then you go home. Secondary grief is you being woken up at 6 o'clock. That's secondary grief. Because for a very long time, you were waking up at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, because you were knocking off late and you had a partner. You had a partner that could take the kids to school.
Good evening.
You mentioned something very touchy. So the loss of identity.
Yes.
Now, when I went there and then I started listening again, I said, can you see where she's pushing the direction?
My dear, I'm not sure if I'm going to go.
Things must be, you see, everything must be done decently and ordered.
Yes. And protocol observed.
Protocol
observed.
It's very important. One thing that is good that we have now passed that stage, and we are passing it, and we are still going through, you understand?
Yeah.
Many social and financial, a lot of challenges. But the good thing that I always remember from your lessons, you know, those previous lessons, is that we need to be coping and see how we can really be courageous. And deal with the situation. Anyway, whether you are a divorcee or life continues. You know that song that Dogmar always said? When one door is open,
another one closes.
More doors are opening for you. More opportunities are opening for you. Except where we do not perhaps want to explore. And use our wisdom and then the capability that God has given us to see how we can negotiate and make sure that we get through on that things.
Mm.
So, but thank you very much, because that dignity, the use of identity, dignity, that human dignity, that respect, and you know,
like because it's been a very long time. You know, you are always known as Tate Buena Onsamani wa Meka Mali. You know? And then now all of a sudden, you're just Tate Buena. And then it's like, okay, so, but who am I if I am not my wife's husband?
Exactly.
Then now you have to figure out who you are. Because also, before you were your wife's husband, right? You were someone. And then you chose to be, you chose to be your wife's husband. And you wanted it that to be forever.
Is that a privilege or a right? It's a privilege, you know, we count it as a privilege.
It's a privilege.
A husband to this my wife.
Yes, it's a privilege. It's not a right, it's a privilege. And privileges are things that can be taken away. Rights can't be taken away.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why we have to be, that's why we have to have gratitude for the privileges that we, that we are, that are bestowed upon us. That's why we can say that I've had the privilege of being in the company of my wife for a couple of years. I've had the privilege of knowing her for a long time. And I'm this conversation, Tate Buena, is a conversation that touches all areas of our lives. And and in many times we don't really look at it that way, because we look at major elements, but there are so many pieces of ourselves as human beings that die along the way, that die, and it's either we bury them and give them a dignified burial, or we completely forget that they died, or we don't even notice that they died. For example, the identity that I had prior to being a mother. Right now, it has been 11 years of being a mother. I don't remember what it was like, but I do remember that part of the grieving process was the fact that you couldn't really talk about the fact that this that you are in right now is hard, because you had a child, and a child is supposed to be a blessing.
And you are not there. You may not have experienced. I didn't experience that pain or that situation as yet.
Yeah, and also with motherhood, for example, right? Because the transition from being a girl, inamuza, to being a woman, mwaza, that is the death of your girlhood, and many women don't talk about that. I think it's with every parent where you used to be, eh? A person without a child, Tate Buena, and now you're somebody's father. You understand? And you are not allowed to complain about being a parent, because society deems children as gifts, but they don't see the challenges that comes with being a responsible and present parent. They don't see all the times that you are counting coins for taxi money.
In my these are deep kind of teachings. Very, these are in-depth kind of teachings. Which what we are and we have learned with couple with just our life experience, we live somewhere very far. Because we have really been empowered. So thank you very much, Mami, for I just came in to you know, just to touch on what you have said, the identity, the information about the 5 hours and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yes, whether we find ourselves or not, or we were where we were.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Good night, mate. God bless.
Okay. See you later.
Okay, mommy.
Okay.
God bless.
Ciao, ciao.
Good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the number in studio is 083-288-401. We're talking about secondary reef. So, for example, if we were going to go in depth in terms of what secondary grief might represent, right? Secondary grief would be the challenges that come with a new role. A new role in your life where you have to bury the old you. You have to bury the old you. Either you can have a ceremony, friend, chummy girl. You can have a ceremony, or you can buy yourself a plant that you're going to be watering, which are, this is the plant of my youth, you know, like that. Because especially when it comes to parenting, nobody talks about the secondary grief that comes with the loss of your identity prior to being a parent, because society doesn't deem it, that doesn't deem it kosher for you to complain about parenthood. And that is why so many women are going through, antenatal depression, or is it prenatal depression? The depression that comes after giving birth, because part of it is a loss of identity. And the loss of identity is a contrary. It is also part of the secondary grief. It's the loss of who you used to be. And many of us act out. Many of us act out. I remember, I think by then my son was 2 months old. And I had been home. I'm breastfeeding. I'm better smelling, handy tumbwa. It's just the baby. It's the baby's father. It is my mom. It is home. It's that. And all of that, you know, like, ugh. And one day, like after 2 months or 3 months, a friend of mine was having a party. And I decided that I'm going to go. That in itself, right? You might be looking at it like, depending on where you come from, you might be looking at it from the perspective of, yeah, no, it's absolutely fine if you're going out. Like, the baby has people to take care of the baby. Or you might be looking at it from the perspective of, yeah, Mara, the baby is too small. You must just stay in the house. It's not our problem that you chose to get pregnant. Now this is your responsibility and you want to, it depends, right? But all of these two were thoughts that I had, which I was also a human being outside of being my child's mother. I'm also a human being. I'm also a youth still. I was 23 at the time, or is it 24 at the time? I'm also a youth. You know, I was 24. Yeah. I also want to go out and hang out with people my age, like, and also just, you know, chill, drink a beer, you know, like, sit around, have adult conversation. And then on the other side, the conversation around, yeah, but children are blessings. And if you wanted to still have this life of partying and going out whenever you want and chilling and drinking and stuff, then you shouldn't have had a child. And these are all thoughts that are within my mind. These are all things that I'm thinking about by myself. Nobody said anything. So I went. And I can tell you now that the same mixed emotions that I had when I was leaving are the same mixed emotions I had at the party. I felt like I felt good socializing, and I felt a deep sense of guilt for leaving the child. The child didn't ask to be here, and now otomwa mara wakano marovuko pati wakano keja membo, and I think that this is a dagger to a person's heart when part of the battles that you are you are fighting in secondary grief because you have lost, you have had the primary loss. The primary loss was the fact that you are now going to be a mother. You are no longer without child. You are no longer omkadona kadona. You are no longer omkadona onkintu inamuza. You understand? I didn't want to use the other word, but yeah. So there's a transition between a girl that has never had a child or a woman that has never had a child and a woman that has had a child. Mwaza o mwaza, bror. Mwaza o mwaza. You can look like whatever you want to look. You can go to the gym. You can do all these things, ne, that will make you still look 24. Mara, mwaza o mwaza. Oshimange, oshinyengo, oshinyengara. It can never be put into place. It's like virginity. You can never put it back. No matter how many years you are celibate from me, that hymen doesn't grow back. You understand? So it was the death of an identity. The death of being a 24-year-old varsity student that's living her best life to becoming a 24-year-old mom that now has to provide and look out and love somebody and be responsible enough to be somebody's mother. And that was the secondary loss, was the shift in identity. Like, okay, so am I just Elu's mother? Or like, what am I? Like, who am I? Am I still the same bold and audacious Elizabeth? Or am I Me Sapeta? Elu's mom. Am I still beautiful enough to walk around with beautiful outfits and colorful? Or am I now the woman with breast pads in the bag and socks for the baby and nondikwa and the struggle? And that in itself is a whole process. It's such a difficult time. And apparently, right? You're not supposed to complain. You're not even supposed to speak about it. You're not supposed to be speaking about it. You're not supposed to be, but like, you're not. You're supposed to be happy that you brought life into the world. But you sink into the identity. You sink into it and all your routines go out the window. And all of a sudden now, because pregnancy in itself is only uncomfortable, but it's not a major life-changing situation. It's just uncomfortable. It's just obvious. It's just there. But pregnancy and a child are two different things. Because with pregnancy, you can still go to Luderitz if you want to go to Luderitz. Pregnancy, you can still go to the club if you want to go to the club. Pregnancy, you can basically still run around. You can do whatever you want. Except now eat sushi, you know, those dangerous things for the baby. But all in all, you're still just a human being. You're just still you. You're just uncomfortable because another human being lives inside of you. People coming out of people. It's like a dirty magic trick. But with a baby though, you can't just up and leave and go to Luderitz. First of all, who are you going with? And these are not questions that you're being asked. It's just yourself also. So am I going to sit with the baby in the bus? How old is the baby? Then I have to change diapers in the bus. What if the baby burps? What if the baby gets sick? What if the baby? And your whole entire existence, right, is folded up into this one human. It's folded up into this one human, and you have no idea who you are. You have to figure yourself out. And that recovery only truly happens after 2 years, where you can now, literally, as long as you have a safe space where you can leave your baby, you can literally have a life. You know, because the baby is not breastfeeding, the baby is big, the baby is communicating, the baby eats. You know, the baby is a person now. The baby is not solely dependent on you. So now you have to be a security guard. You have to let go of your sleeping routine. You can't be watching movies until midnight anymore because you sleep when the baby is sleeping and you still have to go to work because life doesn't stop because you are going through whatever you're going through. And, that is part of secondary grief, the loss of your identity, the loss of who you were. In some cases, like when we say it's the death of something, for example, you used to be employed and now you're unemployed. That's a shift in titles. Oharongo peni, ayarongoe. Some people go as far as lying that they still work because it's so difficult. Right? It's so difficult to explain to others. And not that other people need explanations, but it's one of those things. It messes with your pride and your ego. It messes with you. And also it's messing with your identity. So now you're an unemployed person. You used to be employed, now you're an unemployed person. Karane, down for a long time. Yay! Then you pick up other things on top of that unemployed identity. So now you are the unemployed one that is always sleeping. Because now you've got fatigue because you're going through grief, right? You've got fatigue, you've got insomnia, you've got what? You got depression, you got what? So now on top of the unemployed one, you're the unemployed one that's always sleeping. And say now hypothetically, omwedhirirwane, you guys are living in somebody's house. Auntie's house, uncle's house. You have become the unemployed one that is always sleeping while others are cleaning. Right? Because it's not seen as this is depression. It's not seen as this is grief. It's not seen as secondary grief. It's not seen as anything. It's just seen as lazy. Now you're the lazy one. So that's a new title that's added onto the unemployed. So you're the unemployed one that sleeps all day that is lazy. Okay. And then a mistake happens. Chomi, then you get pregnant. Then you are the unemployed one that is sleeps all day, that is lazy, that is pregnant. Those are all titles that are being added on to a title that you already don't want. While you're losing your identity, while you are losing your dignity, while you're losing a sense of routine, respect, financial stability, while your whole social life is fading into oblivion. That's secondary grief. Then you give birth to this baby and now you are also the ex-girlfriend. Hey, because the relationship doesn't work out. And there's a baby in the mix. You see how it trickles. It trickles, it trickles, it trickles, it trickles, it trickles into everything. So secondary grief refers to the emotional distress caused by the ripple effects, right, of losses that follow after a primary loss. So such as death, divorce, or the loss of a job. These ongoing secondary losses often include shifts in identity, loss of routine, financial instability, and fading social connections, which emerge weeks, months, or years later. You see? Weeks, months, years later. So, you go through a divorce and you are now, so, you're just trying to cope, Moss. You're trying to cope. You're trying to live with it. You're trying to fall into the routine because we were talking about the routine. So it's 12 o'clock at night. It's 12 o'clock at night and you still work at Eagle. You are still going to work and you are still knocking off at 1 o'clock in the morning and everything is still there. Like you can't put it on the back burner. It's not like, you can just drink alcohol and forget your problems. Because even if you drink alcohol and forget your problems are still going to be there waiting for you on the desk tomorrow. So you still have to do everything that you used to do. Like For example, you make sure that the schedule is set. You make sure that tomorrow is going as planned. You make sure that this and this. You make sure everything is still, Chomi, everything must still be going. Herschel, everything must still be going. Because Vele, what you mean? Everything must still be going. Okay. Everything is going. Then you are woken up at 6 o'clock and the kids are like, yo, so we are ready for school. And you're like, oh my God. You guys go to school. Why are you like that? Because life does not end because you're going through a divorce. Kids are still going to school, Jimmy. In fact, you want them to go to school so that you can have those couple of hours to yourself so that you can just sulk about how terrible that person was. Or how mean they were. Or how the death has affected you. Or how you're fading into nothing. Or how sick you are. Or whatever. So you want them to go to school. So this is now cutting your sleep, right? Because you're supposed to be sleeping for 8 hours. But now you're sleeping at 3 o'clock and you're waking up at 6 o'clock. That means you've got 3 hours of sleep. Okay. So you're sleep deprived. And you take the children to school. And that's if you can drive. That's if you have a car, because divorces are ruthless. So now you might have extra expenses from money you actually don't have. So now you are on that Yango. You are on that taxi driver that gets paid monthly kind of thing to take all 7 of your children. Or let's say maybe it wasn't a big family. Let's say it was just maybe 4 or 4 of your children going to 4 different schools. That's an expense that is added and also a responsibility that is added. And it is a change in routine because it has never been your place, because you've been sleeping till 9 to 10, because maybe Habibi used to go to work at 8. So it was just logical, right? For him to drop the kids and you get some shut eye so that you can be productive, right? So yeah. So now. You drop the kids off at school and maybe you are one of those people that can't go back to sleep after sleep has been disturbed. So now you have no idea what to do with yourself. You're sleep deprived, you're tired and you're drained. And this can go on for months. It can go on for weeks. It can go on for years. Where you are noticing the absence of someone in your life. That is what secondary grief is. And it's not just the absence of them. It's the absence of their role in your life. That is why you find people that go back to very bad situations, because this secondary grief is too much to handle. With death, right? With actual death, right? You would say that you don't go back most now to that situation because the person is truly gone. That is the hard one where you just have to, you have to buckle up. But what a lot of people do, because the secondary grief is a lot or it's unbearable, right? They move into new relationships quickly. But they are vulnerable. They are vulnerable because they are trying to look for someone to fill up the spaces of the roles that were played by somebody else. So if somebody dies, then this person starts dating immediately. And you are like, yeah, but this person's husband just died or this person's wife just died. Like, how are they dating? Because this person was accustomed to being held when they go to sleep. This person was accustomed to being loved on. This person was accustomed, right, to being gentle. I think for somebody to be gentle with them. I think if you guys remember correctly, we had a conversation with we had a visitor, and she was talking about being a widow, and part of that was the fact that she had such a good thing going And now it's no more. And now she has to be everything for everyone. While all she had to do when she was married or when he was alive was just wake up in the morning and he carried the rest. She described it as a feeling that she would never wish on anybody, not even her worst enemy. Because it's bad. It's bad. And now we get it. We get it because it's the secondary grief that's the problem. It's not really the death. It's the secondary grief, the losses that come after the loss. Or the losses that come because of the loss. So let's move on to, you know, so we've covered identity and we've covered the loss of routine. The loss of routine is basically being accustomed to doing something and you are not doing it anymore because that relationship is not there anymore, or that job is not there anymore, or that person is not there anymore. For example, you are a person that was employed, you paid for your gym memberships, right? And all of a sudden you're unemployed and you have to cut down because you're working through savings, or there's no savings at all. And that would mean you no longer go to the gym. So you no longer use their facility. You no longer have that luxury. So that is like a loss of routine because, okay, so what are you going to do? Are you going to now make makeshift itenda? And where are you going to lift them? Are you going to be in the house? Like what? What are we doing, sir? You know, like, who's it? What are we doing? That's a loss of routine, you know, and it comes because of the primary loss, the loss of the job. And also, so that is the loss of routine. And then financial instability. Financial instability is financial instability comes with everything. It comes with death. It comes with the loss of a job. It comes with divorce. It comes with everything, especially if the person that passes away was a contributing member, a financially contributing member of the household, of the unit, of the family, of the relationship, you know, the job. That financial instability kicks in. But also one way that we can look at it is also from the aspect of a sudden death, right? A sudden death has a lot of repercussions. It has a trickle effect. It has a ripple effect. And that ripple effect is most now secondary grief. But like the ripple effect of a sudden death, because when somebody is ill, to some degree, many of us, we sort of like prepare. First of all, if your husband is admitted in the hospital and they are in ICU and they're in ICU for like a month, you know, that's 1 month of you sleeping by yourself. So to some degree, you have become accustomed to sleeping by yourself. You know, you have become accustomed to sleeping by yourself to some degree. You have become accustomed to them not being around to some degree. Good evening.
Madam.
Yes, Tate.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Hey.
I thought maybe I should record it.
My dear, Shashandi Mbwangurane. It's English upon English upon English. back to back. Yeah, back to back to back. I'm back, baby.
Some blanket,
my dear. Shukumba thamo SMS. Obandili. Obandili ndili na andi konjongo na shumuna wangi.
No, what's the one different here?
Ah, there's no other way, really.
I probably not allowed to take that would be cotton, you know.
Mona, on Shira, where Cocoro, what's
it? Ah, I don't know, my dear.
My dear. On Shira, where Cocoro, what's it?
I go along with.
I'm telling you, my dear.
Yeah.
So we're talking about secondary grief today.
Anything. Yeah. So, you know how part of it is like, you know how you used to be, for example, maybe a guy that works in the mine.
Yeah.
And then you lose your job. So, losing your job is primary loss. You lost your job. Yeah. Secondary loss is the losses that come with you losing your job. Now you get dumped. You get dumped because you don't work. Then you move back to your mother's house because you can't afford rent.
Yeah.
Then your routine, you used to go to the gym, now you can't afford gym membership.
You can't afford the gym anymore.
Now you used to be the one that is buying food and buying electricity and what, and now you can't buy anything. Now you become a dependent. So that is secondary grief now.
We are even trying to get over this corona.
Yeah.
We are reminding us. We are taking us back again.
It's my dear. Kucha, So, you should get a tumble, Shinyaman. I'm going to shut the line. Shut the line.
Oh, my Colombo. We are even like trying to. But the things are not okay, man. The thing is that when it comes to secondary grave, I think most of Namibian, went through in that area.
Yeah.
Only some who are not capable to handle the situation. That's why we have a lot of suicides.
Suicides, yeah.
Because some of them, they don't take it the way it is.
Yeah.
That is, tomorrow to be another day.
Adapting.
There's always a light and at the end of the tunnel.
The problem is that the tunnel is so long. I think that is part of the problem that we are impatient with our grief.
We are. We make especially Namibian, we are easy to make it with it. Otherwise then you look at the population.
The way you can see that there's a secondary grief even in Namibia is because even our population, after such a long time, our population is not really growing.
I'm telling you, it's not.
Yeah.
Then you are very proud that now we get 1 million. Million after 10 years.
Oh, hi.
Guys. And remember, with that, there are a lot of people applying for Namibia citizens to become a Namibian.
Yeah. So,
dream, I know, dream is there. 2 years that they already have Namibian ID.
So 30% are already foreigners. So it's only 70% of that million that is actually a Namibian.
Yeah, like, don't be surprised that Chinese are more than even Namas, Namibia.
Of course.
It's not a surprise. I think it's not a surprise, you. I'm telling you. And it's what is happening. And it's very dangerous ground when you're having a foreigner more than your one of your tribe. It's very dangerous. You are setting a dangerous trap.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. In the long run, you find it that, hey, my friend, they don't tell me anything. I'm learning for president.
Exactly. Yeah, Yung, president of Namibia.
Yung, president of Namibia. What are you doing? The way we are looking at the French team. That team between Namibia, Chinese, and...
Yeah.
It's very dangerous ground. But we think, some of us, we make a peace with it. Because we know that, this is just a situation we find out. The system is handling you. You may try here and there and there, but the system is catching up with you wherever you are trying to learn. But anyway, for me, I think, as a Namibian, we can talk about it and we laugh off like the way we are doing it now. Because the moment you keep it to yourself, it's building up you and eating you up. Independence, my friend. That's amazing. Even those guys who are camping at the headquarters, how they serious, that's amazing. We are in the war. And we come back to home. You guys are able to put up your fancy headquarters. And you don't want to share a little bit of cake with us. No, that is...
Because I still have to live with the trauma. Because I still have to live with the trauma. There are people that still hear the bombs. There are people that still hear the guns. There are people that still smell blood. There are people that hate flies, right? Because there were so many flies on dead bodies. There are people that there are people that are living with the after effects of what has happened.
That's you are together in the bush.
Yeah.
Then suddenly that guy was just shot. And then the blame even fall on you. Do you think that thing will not torment you for the rest of your life? And now, to make it even worse, your comrades, they don't care about you.
And then also you have nothing.
It's what I'm telling you.
You have nothing. And then you come back, and then you find your younger brother, the one that didn't go Kombada. You find your younger... Erimo Sharp. Jesus Christ.
Jesus. My friend.
But your younger brother, Halo, Halongringo, Menira, Tentura Moscola, Takaningo accounting, Pefuquaningo accounting, Pefuquumbola, Cocon Monda, Banoco Venduca,
No Falama,
Dude.
Most people are not. That's the thing. You will not live. That's what I'm saying.
Wahambere rane kuno na. She there no navara.
Mara, me, all the way I'm saying, Genongo, our politician, they look better, long and my 90. They talk from a picture, I can actually, I'm like a safari. No, I'm well from going.
Regina, no pana.
No, I follow.
Nikatana, Nikuya, and Bera, and you happy when she can.
Then they do comparison, I just pick old picture with the one where they are eating now.
Yes,
with having a
quarter,
with having a tender over here. Totally different. They even look like Americans.
Of course. Kuetengiro kwa tura kwa vasili na ue njini ningota tae mwashasho kuondoka.
Kave maike no uri.
Kave mamaitia. Ntuta ningiro ntiki gani.
Ngemo intramet digotati tini egi.
Ehe, tets.
Avante krami na dumone kakio kaskinyo konte krami.
Ehe, kaonto krami ni. Because if you are not fit on the body, you are fit on the bank account.
Ila.
Yes.
Those who are given 30 years. They are not even reaching what? 500? 500,000.
Open there is 300,000.
250. Oh, come on. Exactly. Aye, man. Things are not fair. That's why we are having a lot of those graves, second graves. Serious, because I'm telling you,
we talk about under secondary grief there is shift in identity or loss in of identity, loss of routine, financial instability, social fading connections, and this is something that emerges weeks, months, and years. So if we are saying that there's a shift in identity, if we are talking about it from this aspect of onakurakuru, nenge, not even onakurakuru, because they are refugees, right? So, or refugee, you know, if we are looking at it from that perspective, we can say that, okay, so for all those years that they were there and they were either fighting for the country or they were running away from whatever was happening here. And they became now refugees, you know, Namibian refugees in other countries, and they became plan fighters wherever they were. And coming back, akutiwa, they had to adapt to the new identity, kucha agaruki. I think it's just because they have no other choice but to accept the name that they were given. Because even if I were to look at it from the perspective of going to either liberate our country to fight or going to run away, right? I would take great offense. And it would be highly disrespectful for me to be called Ongaruki because this is my motherland.
Yeah, exactly.
If my umbilical cord is here.
That's why after the day they are still a refugee.
Yeah.
Because at that way they are not a refugee, they are supposed to be organized with something.
Yeah.
They're supposed to have a title on their name. Nothing, my friend. That's what I'm saying, Just imagine that is tormenting you, my friend. Just imagine the way you are surviving, Tolie, Eshke, and Meke, and you, what? Madam, when you dream, I tell you about the Kakune condition. Madam, those days, you remember, she was your colleague, and so even I, Madam, today is very sharp, we put more sharper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's echoing everywhere, guys.
Everywhere. Just imagine. There are never been good. Just imagine a good. They are already taking care of themselves, their kids, and their grandkids. Mala, when you are in the street, your kid also doesn't have a job.
You also,
they are just looming around everywhere. Come on. Yeah? And the people are not with a man the whole time. You know, the most people who even is eating money here. Some are the administration, but they are getting also the what? As combatant,
veteran.
But yeah, they are getting veteran, but very more kufuta, no.
Yeah.
Oh, ah, me bra. Kasi ni sega. Mara tu ipula nina ndenge no. Nanda akulu peni. Okulu pe umwe, unanara shiba bali wa fila kopat. Mara my friend, just imagine. Peme, bangwe nyoba aluka, bangwa nangobo balu, kumbola ala tumba nao, ala nimba nao, onkulu pe unyoba kwe ta filo njala ako nutekulu. Ah, it's not famous. That's what I'm saying. If these guys are serious the way they do things, we are not even supposed to celebrate independence. For what? What are we celebrating?
Yeah, what are we celebrating?
Yeah.
And also, when we are talking about secondary grief, right, and we are talking about it from this perspective, there are so many, there's also the element of, because some of the common examples are social circles, right? Friends and family distance themselves from you. So how many of these people, right, lost friends and family because, and nobody wants to be associated to Ongaruki. My dear, wanted dead or alive. Dead or alive. Fugitive of all.
There's a lot of things we need to improve, my serious. Because if independence upon it, nobody can just make it like a public holiday. Then we clean our yard, we clean our street, whatever we do. Then the rest of the money which you are supposed to buy bridge in, and what you're cutting and all those nonsense that to bring some at the bend and what. Well, we are hungry. Then we put that money in use. Because much of us, but we don't associate with those guys. They are in their corner. First of all, they divide us. Some of them even they went brutally with military because they are trying to hide their brothers. After all, those are the things. And now, they divide us. There are a veteran that divide the money, that the power, that the penny, my wife, struggle with another one, what I could have any job. We are left out. So, what am I going to say? Nasavata Karamune, it is a baby South Africa, is the most remembered.
South Africa, let to them Burukane, Shashinami beat to them Burukane, Shashinami, Namibia, Shashinami beat to them Burukane, and by Islandish.
If I live on Jopo, that is the thing. Second grave, grieving, if you look at the thing which is happening, so there's a lot of question marks. Anyway, maybe it's nice to talk to you, man.
Thank you so much. Welcome back.
All right. Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Ciao.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about secondary grief because clearly secondary grief is something that touches based on most conversations. It is an element that is part of everything, right? And there are common examples that we can talk about when we talk about, secondary grief. But also, if you would like to call in and participate, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is 083-288-401. Okay. So secondary grief. The key aspects of secondary grief is the double whammy effect. Secondary grief is often more complex than the primary loss because it represents the collapse of daily life structure. That is what secondary grief represents. It represents the collapse of life as we knew it, right? It is that instability in terms of where are our finances going to come from? Like if breadwinner dies, where are finances going to come from? Or, if you lose a job, where are finances going to come from? Okay. Lifestyle. If we were people that used to go out, I remember when, for example, when my mom went through a divorce, right? I remember there was an element of secondary grief that also happened. Like, no, there was like fully that also happened to our household. Part of the secondary grief that happened was the change in lifestyle and routine. So we were the type of children or we were the type of household that used to go out every Saturday. Every Saturday we go out for pizza, or we actually go out for breakfast as a family. So it was my mom, my stepdad, my brother and myself. The four of us would go out and we would go out for breakfast. That was now when it was a nuclear situation, where it's only us that are in the house, right? And we would go out for breakfast and, that was a routine. So I would usually have pizza because I was a kid. You know, didn't look at anything else on the menu, just pizza only pizza. I only want pizza. Always. And there was even a complaint that it's always pizza. But anyhow. So when my mom went through her divorce, the lifestyle changed. And the lifestyle changed in such a way where it was like, we don't go out for breakfasts anymore. So now it was a matter of when my mom gets paid, then she would most probably, we had to start a new routine where it wasn't every Saturday we were going out for breakfast or a family outing. It was now every month and we'd maybe get like a bucket of KFC or Hungry Lion and that's how we chopped our mother's money. But it was a drastic change because a month has 4 to 5 weeks. So for 4 to 5 weeks, next, just what you think, next. And then month end, we get, you know, ka KFC or ka Hungry Lion. And that is the change in the lifestyle and the routines that we used to do because every single Saturday, no matter where we were, even if we had traveled, we go every single Saturday. It was like a family thing. And the loss of shared daily activities such as meals and hobbies, right, was also a big blow. That is why I think that many people don't know how bad things affect. And that's why things affect everyone. And that is why we're talking about compassion with Atebwana, where something had to give. There was an element of compassion that had to come in to neutralize the situation because you cannot be beating kids that have just lost their mother. Even though you have lost your wife, right? You cannot also just be harsh on people that have just lost their mother. And they have lost their routine and they have lost someone that was supposed to guide them through girlhood. There was a lot of sympathy. And I think that also that's where That's where parents, when you go through such struggles with your children, that's where parents become very attached to their children. You know, they become very attached to their children because to some degree, they know their children's pain. There was a complaint that we've always had in our house that my mom prefers my older brother over everybody else. It's like in Kenneje. And it's only when I too became a parent of more than one child, right, that I understood to some degree where my mom was coming from. There are certain children that are born in beautiful situations. And then there are certain children that you walk with on the toughest journeys of your life. And you choose not to give up. And you try your best to shield them and to protect them from the outside world. Because the outside world is so dangerous. I remember, my friend's child's mother telling me that every time her son touches the tablet to go onto the internet, she becomes so scared. She becomes scared because his dad was a public figure, and then he committed suicide. And he committed suicide, and people had so much to say. It's not that he committed suicide that she's shielding him from. It's the comments from people. It's the things that society says that the children go back and see. So that's why when Tate Buana was talking about, okay, so are you going to make a lawsuit and suing would traumatize your children? That is what it's talking about. That fear of traumatizing children that are already traumatized by the situation itself is a sacrifice that many parents make for their children. And also, because up until today, Jermaine only has one child. Up until today, and he's like, what? He's 13? Or, yeah, he's 13 now. Only one. Because she says that if you can love somebody this much, and all you wanna do is protect them and help them through life, if you have three of them, will you not die of a heart attack? Because if you already feel like this over this one child, imagine having three of them that you love the same. Like, it's a very difficult situation. And, so the complaint that we had was always that, my mom loves my brother very much, or she cares about him more than she cares about the rest of us. And it's actually not true. It's just that it was the child that had the hardest life. From the get-go, he had the hardest life. And even though he's messed up, even though he's what, he had a rough start. While you are still being formed in your mother's belly, your dad gets killed. Your dad gets killed. And then your mom gets sick. It's depression. It's all of that while she's pregnant. Then she gives birth. And then when she gives birth, your mom almost dies. And then you almost die. And then you go to the incubators because you almost died. And then when you go to the incubators, right? The hospital in the great Lusaka, the hospital just runs out of electricity, or the electricity just goes off. And the incubator somewhere, somehow suffocate the children. And out of 12 children, 9 children die. So your mom is now running with all her sickness and all her what to go and check if her child made it. And the child made it, but then also, you're also wondering, how much damage was done, because there was no air in this thing. So how much damage was done? And it's a boy child. And also your mother is far away from her mother. So she's doing everything by herself. Because there, by the other side there, Namibia is having fights. And it's war, it's what. And you still have to be that. You still have to do this. You still have to. Eh? So it wasn't, they just went through too much together. You know? That it's understandable. And that is why we say that secondary grief is not something that lasts for a day. It's not something that lasts for 2 minutes. It's not something that lasts for a week. It's something that can last for weeks, months, or even years. Right? Because the trickle effect, for example, if I had to put it in my brother's situation, right? He's 39. But within him, he always says that if I had a dad, maybe I would have turned out different. It's always just a question mark that can never truly be answered, because it can never be done, because it can never be lived ever, not in this lifetime. And this is a person that has never met his dad, ever. He has seen a couple of pictures, but that's it. Never met his dad. And it plays a big role in his character. It plays a big role in who he is. You understand? So, those are the elements that we're talking about. So, the common examples of secondary grief are loss of role or identity, lifestyle and routine, financial and practical, loss of income, the need to move house, or losing the person who handled household maintenance, right? So it's not just financial in terms of like, oh, the money. It could be also practically, because you might be the breadwinner, but the other one is a homemaker. And this homemaker is the one that was cooking and cleaning and making sure that the kids are fed, the kids are in order, making sure that you have a peaceful life at home. And this person is no longer there. That's the practical side. And that means now it's children that are asking you like, yo, dad, are we not eating breakfast? Kanti, your wife used to cook breakfast. Because you just used to eat your breakfast that is made most. Eh? But you are also sitting at the table. It's like being driven by your partner for such a long time. And you are so accustomed to sitting in the passenger side. And then, right? You come out, you go into the garage, you open the car. Like this is something that you're just doing because you open the car. One would have thought that if you open the car, right? You have the key so you know what you're doing, but it's not. You open the car, then you go and sit in the passenger side. You sit in the passenger side and you wait. And only in a few minutes you realize like, I'm divorced. I have to drive myself. Or, my husband passed away. I have to drive myself. It's like, oh, okay. But you've sat in the car. And this is something, that's why we say it's like glitter, right? Because this is something that can break you down just in that minute. Because you can go back to scratch just in that minute. They get straight. It's triggerous. Oh my God. Like, what am I doing? And that's why you would break down and you would cry. Because, what the heba? You're sitting in the car, you're waiting. It's the same way I felt. There was a day that I had a breakdown over my dad's death. Yeah? my second dad. I had a breakdown because we were dealing with estate stuff and it was messy. And we didn't want the executors that we were having. And there was a debate, a legal debate. So I was standing at Puma in Pioneers Park. I was standing at Puma and I was in the shop and I was like, you know what? Let me quickly go outside and call my dad and ask him about this estate thing. That sounds logical. The problem is that the estate that way is in question right now is his estate because he is dead. But it wasn't a thought.